Freestyle Travel. Hey, everybody. This is the Freestyle Travel Show. I'm your host, Kenny Flannery. And this episode, I'm going to be talking about packing. It's one of my original episodes, but this is 3 years later. So it's going to be an updated version of what I pack while I'm traveling with a little bit of a focus on some video gear. Video and audio gear, such as the microphone I'm talking into to do this podcast. Altogether, my backpack is, it's a 22-liter capacity backpack, so fairly small. Some people say it looks like a school book bag, and it's less than 15 pounds, depending on how much food and other stuff I have. Sometimes it's much closer to 10 or below 10 pounds, and that includes a little drone that I have, a camera, several microphones, all my camping gear, clothing, pretty much everything I need to live and thrive and document some of this on the road, on the go, in freezing temperatures even, all the way to summer and rain, and protection from bugs. So yeah, I'm jumping to all that because I've also put out a bunch of content this week around the same thing. If you go to YouTube and look up Hobo Lifestyle, or just youtube.com/hobolifestyle, however you want to get there, I put up three videos this week. Well, actually four. One video was hitchhiking from Florida to North Carolina, which I will get into that story after all of this, where I've been since the last podcast, talking to Nick, talking about hopping was the last episode. In Mississippi, so I'll talk about all that, but I made a video hitchhiking, and then I made three videos all somewhat similar. The main one was the topic of this particular podcast, which is packing. I just sat there and pulled out everything in my backpack one by one so you could see it. So you can listen to this podcast, or you can watch that video, or you can do both. Going to be plenty overlap, so just however which way you want to get this information. That was the main video, and then I made a separate video just really dialing in on all the production equipment I have. So in the main video, I sort of pull out microphones and cameras and just say, this is this. But in the other video, I really get into why I have it, how I use it, some of the technical specs and things like that. And finally, I made a video about the latest prototype bivy pack that I have. I've been calling the pandemic pack that I've been traveling with since May. I made it back in like April, May. And that's my newest bivy pack. It's really light. It's about 12 ounces and it turns into my bivy tent and has an accompanying jacket. Well, it's a rainfly for the bivy that becomes a jacket. And I can also use my custom quilt, sleeping quilt, kind of like a sleeping bag that I made, and put it inside the jacket like a liner and essentially have a puffy coat, a warm puffy coat. So that's a video that just shows visually exactly how that little prototype works. It's pretty badass. It's definitely the best one I've made. I've been making these bivy pack sort of designs for the last 5 years or so. And this one just converts to bivy the fastest. It's the smallest, the lightest. It's my favorite. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, get on to YouTube and go ahead and subscribe to that channel if you want to. I'll be putting up a lot more videos than I have been. And those four that I mentioned are all pretty cool. And that's the topic of this podcast. So, yeah, screw it. Let's just jump right in and then, after talking about packing and everything, you can hear what I've actually been up to, what my travels have been since the last podcast talking to Nick, Mississippi to here in North Carolina. And if you just want to watch the video on packing, you can just skip everything I'm about to say and skip to me talking about that hitchhiking trip. Whatever you want to do, good times are rolling. All right, let's jump on in. All right, so some of you may have listened to, I think it was episode 4 when I first started this podcast, an episode about ultralight packing, and yeah, there might be some overlap here, but I think my bag is quite a bit smaller since then. I've simplified things a little bit, and it never hurts. People always like to listen and read and watch stuff about packing. Particularly if you haven't gotten on the road yet and you're wondering, what do I need? And Really, the biggest mistake people make is taking things they don't need. Usually, people take everything they do need, and then three times as much more. So, pardon me. Let's start with the thing that everybody's going to have, which is clothing. So, yeah, I kind of mentioned in the intro. My backpack with everything in it is, less than 15 pounds. Usually it's a 22-liter backpack. A lot of people get started with 35 or 40-liter backpacks. Some psychopaths go up to a 65-liter capacity backpack. Definitely don't recommend that. If you're new to traveling, just grab a 35-liter, and if your stuff doesn't fit in there, that's a sign. So let's just start there. And now, clothing. Clothing is the one thing that everybody's going to have no matter how you travel. You're going to get into this. I'm coming at it from someone who lives out of my backpack full time. So, I mean, it's literally everything I own. I don't have a home. I mean, I got a lot of friends and kind of home bases, but I don't have like a stash of stuff. This everything I carry is what I got. So my clothing is ready for whatever. It's ready for summertime. It's ready for wintertime. So here we go. We'll start with shirts. Why not? we can start from the head down if you really want to. I've got a little baseball hat, classic, just regular hat. And I've got a beanie for when it's cold. It's a merino wool. It's pretty good. I'm going to be mentioning merino wool quite a bit because it's if you don't know what merino wool is, look into it. It's just dries really quickly, and it doesn't stink because it doesn't hold water as well as cotton would. So it also doesn't hold stink as well. So a lot of stuff I'm be talking about is merino. So that's what I got, the baseball hat and the beanie. And moving on down the body to the shirt area, torso area. Yeah, I've got three merino wool t-shirts. One of them is kind of falling apart, but I'm okay with that. At times I have had like a crappy little cotton t-shirt. It's kind of nice to have one shirt that I really don't care about. It is merino wool, which isn't cheap, but I've had it for years, and it's good for if I need to, help someone do some yard work or whatever work, or trim some weed or just anything where I know the shirt's going to get screwed up. I don't really feel too bad cause it's already got some holes in it and stuff. And the other two t-shirts are in pretty good shape, but they're merino wool as well. You could get away with having just one or two t-shirts. I like to have the rotation. It's kind of nice, but one thing that I'll often do is I'll shower with my t-shirt on and my underwear at times, and just let all the shampoo and soap get on the clothes as well, and then scrub it in, and then take it off and give it another quick scrub while I'm in the shower, and then turn the shower off and wring it out and put the shirt right back on because it dries so quickly. 20 minutes later, I forget that it was even wet. So you kind of could do that with just one shirt and just do that every time. But what happens if you spill like a big thing of barbecue sauce on there and you don't have time to clean it? Maybe you'd want to throw on another shirt, something like that, and just mix it up. Have two or three shirts. So yeah, that's it. You could get simpler with one, but I recommend three. Any more than three is I don't see the point in that. I also have one long sleeve merino shirt, which is pretty warm, and that's usually reserved for pretty cold weather. And then I have a fleece from a company called RAB. I think they're a UK company. I don't know. It's a pretty awesome fleece, though. I've had it. It's a full zip, and it's got a hood, and it's that sort of a micro fleece. Not micro fleece. What am I looking for? It's kind of like a waffle design, so it like traps in more air. So it's pretty nice because it zips. I can wear it when it's like just kind of cool, and it doesn't overheat me, but when it's zipped up and it's good to go, it actually keeps me pretty warm, and it also dries extremely quickly. Sometimes I'll pull it out of the washer and it's like already dry, which is really bizarre. It dries really quickly. I love that thing. So I also have a rain jacket, which is kind of what I mentioned in the intro of this. It does a lot of things. It's also the fly to my bivy, and can also become a puffy coat. So I just jumping ahead because I have to, the quilt, the sleeping quilt that I have, I made myself. It weighs about a pound. It uses synthetic insulation, but that can become the inner lining of that jacket to become a puffy coat. So that's my ultimate warmth right there. Basically there's buttons on the jacket and the quilt and the bivy, and all those buttons are very strategically placed and aligned with each other so that the jacket can button to the bivy to become the fly. It can button to the quilt so the quilt can be folded up and become that puffy coat. You really got to watch the video that I mentioned. Just look up Pandemic Pack Bivy Pack on YouTube, or just go to Hobo Lifestyle and you'll get a visual representation of this. But as you can see, my warmth factor is pretty damn good just by layering. And I've only mentioned the torso version of the body. But for the torso version of the body, I can, if it's like the coldest it's going to be, the warmest I can be is to throw on one t-shirt, the long sleeve shirt, the fleece, and then put the quilt into my rain jacket to become the puffy coat on the outside, and I am pretty damn toasty. And now moving down to the legs, I've got three pairs of underwear, similar to the shirts. Yes, you probably could get away with one, but the difference between one and two pairs of underwear is really significant, and three is just slightly better. So yeah, I could get away with two pairs of underwear, just rotating them and washing them, wearing one, washing the other. But three is just what I have. It just makes it that much better. It makes it so I don't have to always be looking for a place to wash. I can wear one pair. Two of them or one pair is merino wool. So I can get away with wearing the same pair of underwear for several days in a row, totally dependent on how active I've been. Some days, one day is enough. Time to take that off. But other times, if I'm, less active, I can wear it a few days in a row, no big deal. But then, swap out the next one, and then by the time I'm wearing the third, I'll have found a way to wash. So I like having the three. I definitely would not have four. That would be excessive. Three is good. Wish I could recommend some particular underwear, but I've never found one that's just like the best of the best. I've got this Saks underwear my friend got me, actually. He doesn't wear underwear, so he just thought it was funny. He got me this stuff, S-A-X-X, and it's merino wool predominantly. And yeah, I'm liking those ones. So look that up. And then I think there's a brand called Uniqlo. You might be able to look that up too. Other than that, yeah, it's underwear. Probably already know what you like, but try to find something that doesn't stink as quickly. It's comfy. That's what I would recommend, something that dries quick. The problem with going full merino is it doesn't last long, unless it's really thick. So keep that in mind. You might be tempted to purchase some $40 pair of underwear that's merino and then be pretty pissed when it's a year later and there's already a bunch of holes in it. Just word to the wise. If someone gives it to you for free, take it. Besides underwear, still in the legs area, I've got one pair of shorts and one pair of jeans. The shorts, they dry super quickly. I'll put a link to those in this podcast. There's definitely a link in the video that I mentioned, my big packing video. I think it's M-I-E-R or M-E-I-R, but they make some pretty badass shorts. Like, I really like them. Big thing for me with shorts is definitely the quick dry, being able to swim with them, knowing that I can do that, and they'll dry pretty quick is a big deal. And I really like zippered front hand pockets, just, your regular front pockets that every pair of pants has. I like having zippers there. That way, if I'm getting in and out of cars or whatever, there's no chance of my phone or anything popping out, wallet. You should all know, don't keep your wallet in your back pocket, whether you're traveling or not. It's usually just a bad idea. Tempting pickpockets, pickpocketers, and it's got to be uncomfortable when you sit down. Having it in that front pocket and being able to zip up is a big deal. So these particular brand of shorts I really like. They're somewhat stretchy, khaki colored. Yeah, I just love them. They're great. So check them out. I think they come in different colors and different styles. I only just discovered them recently because my last pair of shorts got destroyed. Barbed wire fence or something one drunken night. You know how it goes. Freaking Montana. Yeah, and then the jeans. And the jeans, a lot of people will fight me on this one. Hikers especially, travelers, because jeans, you know, they're big, they're bulky. They typically don't dry as fast as some, like, other types of, you know, hiking pants do. But I just like jeans. I like the style. I blend in more, especially, you know, anywhere, really. But, like, overseas, if you're walking around a city in Cambodia and you've got jeans on, you'll notice you get hassled a little bit less because you just don't really look like a traveler, because most people don't travel with jeans because the reasons I just mentioned. So when you're wearing jeans, people tend to assume you belong or you live there. So even though you're in a different country, I'm a white face in Cambodia, they might think that I'm working there. I'm an English teacher or whatever, and I've already heard all the bullshit scams, so none of them come my way. Yeah, jeans are just comfy. And there's different companies. There's Bluffworks and a company out of the UK called Rohan that make jeans that are actually partially synthetic. So they look and kind of feel just like normal jeans, but they're not fully cotton. There's some synthetic in there too, and that allows them to pack smaller and dry faster. And because they're angled to travelers, there's usually some hidden pockets in there. So look up Rohan or Bluffworks, and you'll find some pretty killer travel jeans. Yeah, so that's the legs. Oh, one more thing is the long underwear. I do have long underwear. It is not merino. That would be the best if I, you know, if this pair ever dies on me and I can afford to, then I will replace them with a merino long underwear. But having the long underwear is crucial in the winter. Like I said, just with the shirts and everything else, that's what I'll have on below is the jeans and the long underwear and some boxers below that. And it just keeps me toasty. And then I'll wear those when I'm doing laundry. Sometimes if I have to wash both my jeans and my shorts and I'm hanging out with some folks, I need to have something that looks like pants. Throw on that long underwear. Pretty critical if you're going to be traveling in the cold at any point. And down to the socks. So I have two pairs of socks. I used to have three. Very similar to the shirts and the underwear. It's just that with socks, I finally made the jump to two, which, you know, I probably should do with the shirts and the underwear. Shirts probably be last to go to make that jump from three to two. But yeah, I just don't wear socks most of the year. So that made it a little bit easier to just jump down to two. They're also probably the easiest thing, fastest thing to wash. Again, merino wool is your friend here, probably more than ever, because they don't stink, so you can wear the same pair of socks for days and days and days in a row. You know, eventually they'll start to get stiff and gnarly, depending on what you're doing, but rotate them out and wash them quick in the sink and stick them outside your backpack, and they'll dry while you're walking. That's easy to do. So yeah, two pairs of socks. Understand if you want to get three. I get it, but definitely stick to merino if you can. And the brands, the big brands you could look for are Smart Wool. Smart Wool kind of owns the space, but there's also Darn Tough socks. And pretty much if you just see merino, just go for it. It's probably good. There you go. And Keen Newport sandals. That's the only piece of footwear that I own. I've been wearing this Keen Newport style shoe since late 2006 or 2007, like 14 years. I've only veered away once or twice. One time to try a different brand, different model of Keen shoe. It was just, I didn't like how thin the sole was. And yeah, it's just the everything shoe, everything but like formal stuff. I mean, they've got the closed toe. So even sometimes when you go like a brewery tour, for example, they'll be like, no sandals. But even though it's like kind of a sandal because it's the closed toe, they give you a pass. And in the wintertime, I just throw on my warmer pair of socks and I'm good to go there. They're good for the river. They're good for hiking. They're pretty much good for everything except for really specialized stuff, maybe like climbing or going to a wedding. But if you're going to a formal event, it's probably with a friend, and I could probably borrow a pair of shoes for that. So there you go. I think I covered all the clothing. Maybe I'm missing something. A little note on the socks. The backpack I designed, if you watch that video, you'll see I designed the shoulder straps to be empty rather than having padding, with a little Velcro pocket. And I very purposely fold and slide in the socks into the shoulder straps, and that becomes the cushion for the shoulder straps. It's kind of double duty. Less weight added to the pack, don't have to add the padding, and less space taken up in the main body of the pack, even if it's just by the space of two pairs of socks. Everything makes a difference. Yep, I think that's all the clothing. I don't think I'm missing anything. So let's move on to toiletries, and then I'll get into the camping gear and the electronics and some miscellaneous stuff. What did I just say? Okay, yeah, toiletries. Toothbrush broken in half. Easy. Classic ultralight move. Dr. Bronner soap. You all have heard me talk about that before. I get the little 2-ounce bottle of Dr. Bronner soap, and it lasts forever. This is the universal soap. A couple drops lather up quite a bit, so it lasts a long time. And you can use it as soap, shampoo. You can fill up the sink with water and some of that soap and wash your clothes. You can brush your teeth with it. It's just the everything soap. It's great. The bottle itself says 18-in-1. And to this day, I don't know what all 18 purposes are, but there you go. Dr. Bronner soap. Just look it up. It's in every REI. It's probably in every GNC pharmacy store or whatever. Whole Foods has it, and you can get it on Amazon or something. I'll have links to this stuff. That's the most important thing. And I've got what is essentially, I used to carry a beard trimmer with me, and kind of obsessed over trying to find the lightest beard trimmer, and did pretty good. I had one for a while that was like twice as thick as like a highlighter marker or whatever, and I liked it, but I realized that I don't fully shave my beard that often. Maybe once a month, maybe once every 3 months. All I really do, I just need to trim up the mustache so it's not interfering with my beer drinking and ice cream eating, and just kind of trim things up a little bit. So what I did was I got it's essentially like one of those like micro groomers or like nose hair trimmer, kind of super tiny thin. It's like the size of a pencil, maybe a little bit thicker, kind of trimmers. Wahl, W-A-H-L is the brand that I have, but you'll see those for like, I don't know, $7 or $14 in every pharmacy and grocery store in the world probably. And yeah, that gets the job done. It takes a AAA battery, so it gives you an idea of the size. It's just only slightly wider than a AAA battery. Definitely recommend that. Because, by the time I need to actually shave my beard, I usually end up staying with a friend or a new friend or somebody who's got a beard trimmer, and whatever, I can borrow it for 10 minutes and be done, rather than carrying my own and batteries all around the world for the 10 minutes that I need it every month or three. So, yeah, same thing with nail clippers. I don't travel with nail clippers. I used to have one of those like Swiss Army pocket knife, a pair of scissors to cut them, which was pretty efficient, and then I lost it, and then, I don't know, next time I needed to cut my nails, I came across a nail clipper, and then next time I needed to cut my nails, I came across a pair of scissors, and that happened like 4 or 5 times in a row before I could replace it, and I was like, I guess I just don't have to replace it. Not sure why I carried it all in the first place. So toiletries, it's pretty simple. Sometimes I'll have one of those little toothpaste or like hotel shampoos in there. If I come across one, I'll kind of keep it around. But otherwise, I use the Dr. Bronner's, or, a lot of times if I have access to a shower, it's because I'm staying with someone and they've got some shampoo and they don't really care if I use a squirt of shampoo while I'm staying at their house for a couple days. So, yeah, that all goes a long way. That's pretty much it for toiletries. Yeah, I believe so. Moving on to camping gear. Because I hitchhike so much and because I just love getting into the mountains and lakes and things and camping anyways, when I mention hitchhiking, it's less like, let's go camping. It's more like, I need to find a place to hide and lay down and shut my body down for the night kind of camping. But in any event, that's where the bivy pack comes in. So I'll explain what I have and you can... You know, you could get a bivy pack too. Actually, I've got them for sale, one version, on freestyletravelgear.com. But I'll explain what that is and how that works, and then what else you can do if you don't want to get that specialized and awesome. I understand. yeah, the bivy pack, it just turns into a bivy. And if you don't know what a bivy is, it's just a small little one-person tent. The most basic kind of bivy is literally just like a sack, a waterproof sack that you slide your sleeping bag into, and it just keeps you dry if it rains. The versions that I've made all have like a frame around the head so it keeps the material off my face, and has bug netting there too so I can breathe but the bugs can't get in, and then some sort of jacket or fly that I can use to cover that up when it rains. So there's a lot of bivvies out there. Obviously there's the bivy pack that I mentioned that you could get while they're left. But you could also just REI or anywhere you get a bivy. Various different kinds, all kinds of different prices, anywhere from less than $100 to $300 or $400 for some of the high end ones. Yeah. And that's probably the best way to go. That's what I've done. But other options for camping, you could just get a tarp. That doesn't really fix your bug problem, snake and spider problem or whatever, but it does solve the water problem for the most part. You could wrap yourself in the tarp, for example. You could get a little tiny tent, but then again, why not just get a bivy? But maybe you're traveling with somebody, so it could be nice to have that two-person tent. Or maybe you're just claustrophobic. I mean, you would end up getting over it, but maybe not. That'd be a reason to get a small tent, but just keep in mind that is going to be very bulky. And if you travel like me, sometimes you're camping 7-8 days in a row or more, and sometimes you're going 3 months without camping at all because you're just staying with friends, meeting new friends, whatever, and just don't wind up outside. And in those kind of stretches, you'll feel kind of dumb for carrying a 2, 3, 4 goddamn 5-pound tent around, taking up space. That's why I recommend a bivy, because it's just the smallest and the simplest that you can go for. Some people travel with hammocks, but again, you probably need to invest in a hammock that also has some bug netting, if that's going to be a concern, as well as a tarp of some kind, and it just starts adding up space and weight-wise. So it's a very personal thing. But those are some options that you can consider and look into. I like the bivy pack. It's just the lightest and the best. And so, yeah, that's what I have for camping. I also have a water filter and 2 platypus water bottles. They're basically foldable water bottles. One's 1 liter, one is 2 liter, and the Sawyer micro water filter. You can look that up. Screws onto those bottles so I can fill one with dirty water from like a lake or whatever and squeeze it into the other, or just drink it straight from the Sawyer micro filter, and then I have clean water. I also have a 1 liter, I think it's a 1 liter titanium cook pot. It's about the size of a large mug, and yeah, that allows me to, you know, make coffee, boil water, and cook ramen, whatever. And also it's storage in my backpack. I can obviously fill it with things. I'm not going to keep it empty, just have empty space in the backpack. So I keep things in there. I don't want to get crushed, like the propellers to my drone, for example. And since I think I just covered all the stuff for camping, if I missed anything, it'll come back to me. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, padding. So some people get like a full length inflatable pad or whatever for sleeping. What I've done, and this is in flux, I've got a just sort of a foam pad. It's very small. It's maybe 2 feet, 2.5 feet wide, and just a foot or so thick. Not thick, but width-wise. And that goes under my shoulders. I used my bag of clothes as my pillow, usually with my fleece on top, so it's comfortable against my face. And then under my hips and torso, I actually got an inflatable sit pad from REI. I think they call it the Flash Pad. And that keeps me comfortable. I've got nothing under my legs usually, unless it's really cold, and I'll throw some clothes under there maybe. And that's my really bootleg setup, but it really works well for me. You'll have to watch the video to see that a little bit better. And to be honest, you'll probably see that and be like, what the hell, and find your own solution. I understand. But it works pretty well for me. Until I make something more custom. Yep. And moving on to electronics. So this is, I saved this kind of for last, unless I'm forgetting some like little odds and ends, because not everybody is, you know, out there podcasting like this. Not everybody's making videos beyond like what they can just do with their smartphone. They don't care. So some of the things I want to mention here, you might just not care too much about. I get that. But I'll start with what you might possibly care about, even if you're not doing that, which is my tablet slash kind of laptop. A lot of people will travel that, like with that, if they're doing some writing. Unless you're doing video editing, audio editing, some kind of specialized software, or doing a lot of writing, obviously you can probably get away with your phone. Your phone can do just about everything otherwise. But, you know, some people like to do writing and that sort of thing. So what I have, I think, is the best thing you can have, which is the Microsoft Surface Go. It is very small. I believe it's a 10-inch screen or something. The actual size of it might be like 11 inches or so, but it's the smallest and lightest device I could find. It's technically a tablet, but a keyboard attaches to it, and it behaves like a laptop. I just treat it like a laptop and often refer to it as my laptop. Even though it's got a touch screen and the keyboard is removable, it runs full Windows. I can run Adobe Premiere, Photoshop, Cubase, everything. It's Windows. And it's powerful enough to actually edit 4K videos. I got to tweak the settings and do a few things and be careful about it. But it works. And it's definitely what I recommend for anybody, unless you're doing something like really, really intensive. Microsoft Surface Go, and they just came out a few months ago with the Microsoft Surface Go 2, which would be nice to have. It's got a faster processor option, and the screen is a little bit bigger, even though the device is the exact same size. They even say the keyboard will work with that one that works with the original. So if you don't have a device and you're in the market for one, that is the only thing I would recommend, unless you are just a big old nerd, in which case you already know the specs and what you want, and you're willing to have the extra 3, 4, 5, 6 inches, an extra pound or two in your device. I get it. I used to have a bigger laptop as well, but this one's just great. It does what I need it to do, and it's the smallest thing possible. Microsoft Surface Go. So I've got that. And then I've got a little, the size of a lighter, basically an SSD hard drive, which I'll link to. It's the lightest 1 terabyte SSD USB 3 hard drive I could find. And that makes, you know, storing all my video files easy, and running off of that on Adobe Premiere makes Adobe Premiere run a little bit smoother for sure. If you get on YouTube and you look for people, if you're interested in making videos, you'll see several videos of people trying to use the Microsoft Surface Go with Adobe Premiere, and some are successful and some claim it does not work for them, but it works. It's just, you know, when you go to export the video, it's going to take a while, but actually flying through videos is not a big deal if you dial it in, and the SSD makes a difference. Getting a little nerdy here for you. Some people might be skipping ahead. I understand. But for those of you who are still with me, getting the cameras. So obviously the phone is actually pretty nice, pretty powerful, and the one that's usually most accessible. So I personally have a Pixel 3a at the moment. Recording this, I think if I could exchange my phone for free for any phone in the world, I would probably jump on the Pixel 4a 5g or the Pixel 5. That's as far as I know, the best camera out there. I've heard things about Samsung, but I really like the Pixels, so that's probably what I would get. The Pixel 4a 5g. It's got the exact same camera as the Pixel 5, but it's got like a headphone jack too. So I like that one. I would probably research the Samsung one a little bit more. What is it, the Ultra, whatever? But yeah, whatever. Camera number one, the phone. Pretty powerful. Camera number two, I have the GoPro Hero 8. They just came out with the Hero 9. The Hero 8 is awesome. Besides a screen on the front of the Hero 9, I'm not actually sure what all the better features are of the Hero 9. Versus the 8. The 8 is just amazing. I love it. It's the first GoPro I've had. I had an action camera before, but the GoPro just kicks ass. It's my go-to camera. I mean, my phone takes good pictures and video, but the GoPro is just way more stable, and it does time lapses really amazingly. It's waterproof, so I can, if I need to take a video in the rain or actually jump into the water, I can do that with the GoPro. And I love it. You know, there's people out there get the big DSLRs and stuff like that, and you know, I'm sure it takes better video, but at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are just watching my video to get a story and not necessarily have some DSLR magic looking stuff. The GoPro's good for me for now, so maybe if I get way more nerdy and into it and start dropping some weight in other parts of my pack, maybe I'll change that in the future. But right now, GoPro, it's great and super tiny. I keep it in my pocket too, so that's what I try to use for almost everything. But yeah, the phone is just, when it's handy, then I'll use that too, because it's fine, and I think it's a little bit better in the dark, actually, my phone, compared to the, that's where it beats to GoPro. And then the third camera I have is actually a drone. It's the DJI Mavic Mini, and once again, they came out with a new version just like a couple weeks ago, the Mini 2, but I have the Mini, and yeah, I was a little bit hesitant about getting a drone just because that's a lot of extra space in the backpack, and it's obviously kind of a more fragile sort of thing, so having that kicking around, but it just looked so cool, and after doing the hopping backpacking beer adventure show with Nick and all that equipment we had and getting back into filming, I was like, man, this would really make a difference in some of the shots that I can get. So I dove in knowing that I could return it if I needed to within whatever it was, 30 days or something, and I fell in love with it right away. And it's really, I've gotten used to it in my backpack. It takes up some space, the drone and the controller. The controller is the same size as the drone, actually, but compared to other drones, it's very tiny. And it takes great videos, obviously. It's a freaking drone. It goes up in the air and takes the aerial shots. But also, if I need, like, just a smooth pan, if you watch the Pandemic Pack video I've been mentioning, too, you might notice one shot where it's just, like, panning over the top of the bivy. And that's actually using the drone. It's basically, you know, not going way up in the air, but its ability to smoothly get shots like that is worth it, too. And then besides just using it for making videos, I've used it to do like scouting for campsites. So like this summer I was in Missoula, Montana, and I was downtown and I knew I'd probably have to find a place to camp that night. And I saw there's like some islands on the river and it was hard to tell. I didn't want to like trudge all the way out there and find out, it would be no good. So I sent the drone out there and had it look around and like drop into the trees and and be like, oh yeah, and then drop down to the water and see how, like, not in the water, but down to it to see if I'd be swimming or wading across and stuff like that. So I've used it just to, like, check things out from a distance to see if it's worth doing. So it's been a beautiful thing. I really like it. Of course, I came out with the Mini 2 just months after I got it. The Mini 2 is an upgrade for sure. It's got the camera, from what I can tell, is exactly the same, except for it lets you do a 4K video instead of 2.7K, which is definitely nice. I guess the motors and the propellers are an upgrade, so it's better in the wind. And it's got a different syncing system, so it'll go further from your remote. Which is kind of nice. I don't send it out. Apparently, it'll go like 6 miles away. Mine will go a few miles away. I don't try not to send it that far, because if it loses transmission, it's supposed to come back home, so to speak. But in case it doesn't, that freaked me out. But the new one is the exact same size as the old one. As far as I can tell, it looks identical. It'd be hard to tell the difference between the two, except for some coloration on the propellers. But yeah, it's definitely an upgrade. The controller, with all the things that's better, it actually has USB-C instead of micro USB as well, which is nice. It's just nice to have everything USB-C, less adapters and stuff like that. But the remote controller is totally different, actually. It's a lot bigger, so that's kind of a turnoff. It's not twice the size as the original that I have, but it is significantly bigger, so that's the only turnoff that I see, and it costs $50 more. But yeah, if you're thinking of getting a drone and backpacking, that's kind of the no-brainer drone, unless you just really don't care about weight and space in your backpack, in which case you're probably not listening to this, and you might get like one of the bigger ones, like the Mavic Air 2 or something. But yeah, drone. So phone, GoPro, drone. And technically, my Surface Go has a camera in it. Well, it's got a webcam, and then it's got another camera on the back. So if I really needed, like, another angle or something, I'd have that crappy little camera on the Surface Go, too. It's not super, whatever. It's good enough for another angle. So those are the cameras. Now into microphones. I've got 4 different microphones, besides, you know, the built-in ones on the GoPro and the phone, which kind of suck, which is why I need an external microphone. So I've got one shotgun mic. It's a Movo VXR10, I believe it's called, and that one I can mount on the phone or the GoPro using the tripods, which I'll get into, little tripod sticks that I got. So that one's got a big fluffy windscreen on it, so that one's real nice just for quick shooting stuff or shooting other people and capturing clean audio. If I know I'm going to be sitting down or walking around, if I've got time, I've got 2 Rode SmartLav Plus lavalier microphones. That definitely sounds the best. That's the best microphone I have for recording video anyways. So 2 of those and the microphone I'm talking into right now, which sounds the best out of all of them, but has to be kind of like set up, and that's the Samsung Go mic. It's also about the size of a lighter, and it sounds like this. This is what it sounds like. I really like this microphone. It plugs in via USB, and yeah, I don't use it during filming, but obviously I'm using it for podcasting, and I'll use it if I ever have to do a voiceover for any of the videos. So those are the 4 mics that I got. You could, if you only wanted one of all 4 of those microphones, I would go for the Rode SmartLav Plus, just one of those, because it sounds good. You could podcast with it, and it's the smallest one, basically. So it would pack up the smallest out of all of them. The Samsung Go mic's pretty small. So that's the microphones. I've got various adapters that I need. You can watch the video if you really want to get into some of that, because it's more visual. But yeah, this like the GoPro requires an adapter that you need to plug in any external microphone. So some of that, and various adapters and cables that I have. And I've got one 10,000 milliamp power brick to charge all this stuff. I've got one wall outlet charger, which has three outputs, two USB-C and one USB-A. So I can charge three things at once. And with some of these little adapters, I can, basically charge whatever combination, whatever I need to, like the phone, the tablet, and the drone, the controller, and the phone, whatever I need. So, yeah, take a look at that. I also, for all the gear that I'm talking about now, the electronic gear, I have a post up on hobolifestyle.com with pictures of this too. So there's the video, there's that post, and there's me talking now. All kinds of ways to figure this out. So, yeah, that's for the batteries. And I've got one extra battery for the GoPro, two extra batteries for the Mavic Mini, and I've got two international plug adapters. So for my wall outlet, I've got the outlet adapter for Europe and the outlet adapter for New Zealand, just the super cheapo basic ones. They are the smallest, they are the best. Don't invest in one of those big universal bricks or whatever, those big things that are the size of a goddamn Rubik's Cube. Then I'll just get the simple ones, and you'll be good to go. Tripods. I think that's the last little bit of the techie stuff, besides the earbud headphones that I'm wearing. Earbud headphones. I've got two tripods. One is like a 12-inch, one of those like flexi kind of ones. It's made by a company called UBs, but a million companies make them. I think there's like the Gorilla, whatever, Jolby pod or whatever. I don't know. There's a bunch of those little flexible tripods that you can either set up like a little 12-inch tripod, or you can like wrap it around a tree limb or whatever, wrap it around anything. The one that I have is waterproof, which I guess not all of them are waterproof, but this one is. So that's great. I can put the GoPro on there and then just have that if I'm going into the water to have a better grip on the whole GoPro itself. So that's really nice. And then I have the tripod that I'm actually using as a microphone stand right in front of me right now. And it's kind of like a 5-6 foot selfie stick, but at the bottom there's three little legs that come out to turn it into a tripod, which is the main reason that I got it. So it's pretty great. I can put my phone or the GoPro on there, or this Samsung Go Mic microphone when I'm doing this podcasting, and it's perfect. Just sets up like a little tripod and gets to eye level. Like I said, it's almost 6 feet high. Or if I am hiking and I want like the long selfie-ish shot, I can do that too. And it came with a little Bluetooth remote shutter button, so I can trigger it to take a picture or start taking a video that way as well. So it's a pretty versatile little piece. If you get on Amazon, you can find some, but I'll link to the one I'm currently using. For whatever reason, isn't available on Amazon anymore, but I'll link to some other ones that are actually kind of better that if I could, or felt like spending the money, I would replace them. But they all range from 15 to 30 bucks usually, these sort of tripod selfie stick combination kind of deals. So it's just a trick of finding the lightest one. So I'll link to one or two that I really like, or at least look good, similar to the one that I have now. That's it for electronics. The drone came with some extra propellers, so I got some of that going on. I went over the clothes, toiletries, camping gear, and that's it. So everything I just mentioned, I know I've been going on for 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, but that's all still less than 15 pounds, all that together. I guess I'll throw food in the mix. I usually have a Ziploc bag full of food, granola bars, ramen, hot sauce packets, stuff like that. So that's pretty variable. Sometimes it's empty, sometimes it's 3, 4, or 5 pounds worth of stuff. Just depends, but it's always good to have at least some granola bars and food that won't go bad, even if you're doing okay on money. It doesn't matter if you get if you're hitchhiking and get dropped off in the middle of nowhere, or if you just spontaneously want to go hiking down some 50-mile trail, some 30-mile trail even, and just know you're going to be out there for a couple days, that you don't have to all of a sudden get to a grocery store or anything. It's nice to know that you like are good to go and self-sufficient food-wise to an extent. So got that too. Yeah, that about covers it. So happy days. Hope you guys found that pretty helpful. And send me a message if you got any other questions or suggestions on ways that I could save weight based on everything that I just told you about. Definitely check out those videos on YouTube to get a more visual representation. And if there's anything I forgot, I definitely didn't forget it in the video because I literally just sat down and started pulling everything out of my backpack in front of you. There's even a point where I found some trash in there. I was like, oh, carrying trash around. Oops. So yeah, check that out. YouTube, Hobo Lifestyle, Versatile Travel Packing, something like that is the title of the video. It's one of the new ones. And happy days. And then I'll get into how I got to North Carolina right after the little song break. Here we go. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. I did remember one thing that's not on there. I made a little whiteboard sign out of white paper and clear packing tape. And a little whiteboard marker. So I remembered that. Maybe there's another thing that I forgot, but I did remember that. And I've got my wallet, you know? A little wallet that I made out of Sil nylon. Just keep a little bit of cash and my cards in there. And a lighter. I forgot to mention a lighter. So there's a couple additions for you. All right, so let me tell you how I got here to North Carolina. So, last episode I was in Mississippi seeing some friends, and I did that episode with Nick via video chat, talking about hopping, the backpacking beer adventure, and I actually talked to him again today, just talking more about our second season, what we're going to do, go around hitchhiking and drinking beer, filming the whole thing. We're talking as early as March, as late as the summer for filming season two. Let's catch you up on that. So, yeah, I had some good times in Mississippi. There was a hurricane that came through and knocked out the power for maybe 10 days. That was kind of a bummer, but not that big of a deal. Eventually, neighbors gave us the extension cord. The house I was staying at in particular, like, everyone was without power for a few days, but the house I was at particularly lost a line, so that's why we were just out of power while everyone else got it back. Neighbor gave us an extension cord. So yeah, went through that hurricane. And then I was like, I haven't seen my brother in a while in North Carolina. I want to go see him. And my friend Christian, who's been on the podcast before, a friend I was staying with in Mississippi, he was wanting to take the kids on a little mini road trip for a few days. And he was also going to be heading east. So I tagged along with him and another friend, the two kids and one of the kids' friends, a car full of people, for a few days. And we went to Panama City Beach in Florida. And they went to some like little kids' museum. We hit some breweries on the way. We slept on the beach the first night and just kind of had a good time for 2-3 days with them. And then they were going to start looping back. So they got me up to Interstate 10 and dropped me off. And then the wet hitchhiking began. There's another storm brewing off of Florida somewhere, and it never really fully hit, but it was just rainy the whole way to North Carolina. So it took me about 3 days, 7 rides altogether. So that first day when Christian dropped me off on I-10, I ended up getting 1 ride for like 20 miles, and then I walked until sunset for a couple hours and went to sleep there and got up the next day, still kind of off and on raining, and got 1 ride a little ways, and then the one ride I got, the guy was going towards Orlando, so at the junction 75, like heading towards like Tampa and all that, still on I-10. It started raining harder, and then a cop came and he's like, you can't walk on the highway, state trooper. But he was nice enough. Those of you listening to this podcast know how I deal with police. I'm pretty good at it while hitchhiking, so he was friendly enough and gave me a ride to a truck stop a few miles up the road. But that truck stop kind of was not very busy. So, and since, you know, he just state trooper just told me I couldn't walk on the highway. That's usually my move. If I'm at a not busy on-ramp, then I just go ahead and walk up onto the interstate itself, legal or not. And I was not going to do that because he had just dropped me off and told me not to. So you only kind of get one shot at that. So instead, I walked the back roads, muddy-ass back roads. There's some construction going on I did not anticipate, so shoes got, like, caked in mud. Had to wash those off in a puddle. I got a video about this story I'm telling you now, too. You could watch if you want the visuals on this. And, yeah, walked, and I ended up getting one more ride into Jacksonville, Florida, from this guy. He had a ham radio, and he was just, like, one of those everybody's an idiot kind of guys, just, like, weaving through traffic, calling people assholes. He was a veteran, and that was Veterans Day, so I kind of scored. He got a Subway sandwich, was giving out free sandwiches to veterans, so he got a sandwich and split it with me. Dropped me off in Jacksonville, kind of in a bad spot. I don't know, Jacksonville's pretty big, and he's dropped me off on, like, the opposite sort of side of town that I needed to be in, and I don't know. And it was dark already, so I just started walking, and eventually walked over this big bridge, and finally just found a place to camp for the night. Kind of rained off and on. Got up in the morning, started moving. Now I was on I-95, heading north. And just hoping to make up some road. I got one ride from this woman. She was real sweet. She was a nurse. She got me kind of out of Jacksonville and up almost to the Georgia line with her kid in the car seat in the back. Real nice. She kind of stopped in a real sketchy spot, which was, you know, in my eyes, makes her even nicer because it's kind of a risk. So she did that for me. That was cool. And from there, I wound up eventually getting a ride from this guy who's a lineman. So all the storms are kind of a good thing for him. Knocks out people's power, and he comes and fixes it all over the country. Single dude, probably about 40 or in his 40s or something like that. He's got a home base in upstate New York, which is where he's going. So killer ride, you know, getting picked up in, I guess, still Florida. Technically, yeah, still in Florida. Right by Georgia, and he was going all the way to New York. And that's kind of what he does. He just travels around the country and picks up that work and sometimes gets back to a spot in New York, and he's got, like, boats and stuff all over the place. Whatever, one of those kind of dudes. He was cool. And, yeah, I drove with him all the way up into North Carolina and got off in a little town called Lumberton, which is the junction heading towards the coast, towards where my brother lives. At that point, it was sunset, so just kind of tried to wait out the rain a little bit and then found a real nice place to camp. That's in the video, too, just like this little woods. I mean, you know, nice in terms of stealth camping while hitchhiking, nice. And, you know, out of the way, no chance of getting caught, really. Comfy, flat ground, all that good stuff. Yeah, so I walked on out of there, and I got to the main road, and if I had a car, it would have been a two-hour drive to get to my brother's, and a couple twists and turns and junctions, not a direct road, so the ride I got was really lucky. It was this guy, he was going about an hour of those 2 hours to a chicken plant, whatever, place where they murk chickens, and by the time we got there, he was just like, I'm not doing anything else. I'll just drive you all the way to the coast. So he picked up his check or whatever from the plant that he needed to get. And then, yeah, took me on over to the coast. He was an interesting dude. One of the first things he said when I got in the car is that he was a criminal or something. Came from a family of criminals. So he seemed like a pretty smart guy. Kept saying he was smart, talking about his own IQ and stuff like that, but nice guy, and just telling me about, you know, the way he grew up and different scams and stuff like this that he'd gone through, and how his brother just killed his best friend a few weeks ago, and yeah, all sorts of drama and stuff. But he took me on basically to my brother's, just right down the road while I waited for him to get home, and here I am. So got to my brother's, and I figured I'd stay for a couple few days, and him and his wife, my sister-in-law, kind of were hoping I'd stay through Thanksgiving, so I decided, yeah, why not? Might as well stay 1 week longer than I was gonna, and enjoy a turkey day with them. So I'm recording this on a Friday, so yeah, Thanksgiving is a little less than a week away, so I'll be here until then, probably leave the day or two after. But I've been getting a lot done while I've been here. All the videos that I mentioned, I edited the video of the story I just literally finished talking about hitchhiking here. I edited that first, and then I filmed the three videos of everything I pack, the electronics I pack, and the pandemic pack, bivy pack video, and edited and uploaded all three. So it's been pretty productive since I've been here hanging out with them. So I'm sure it'll be another good week getting this podcast in, productive altogether. Always awesome hanging out with my brother. We're going to brew some beer, probably film that and throw it up on the Hopping YouTube channel, Backpacking Beer Adventure, most likely. And yeah, then my thought is that I will head west. My mom's hoping that I'll come out to her for Christmas in Wyoming, and that's what I'm thinking about doing. So between here and there, I might need to pick up something in Mississippi, but maybe I won't have to. Maybe I can arrange something on that. But either way, I'll probably try to stick to the southern route to get to Wyoming, and I'll have a month to get there, so it's not like I'll be in a rush. So yeah, I might stop and see some friends along the way, either around here in North Carolina or Georgia or, yeah, Mississippi. Something about Corpus Christi. I just want to go check that out. I went on a Wikipedia or somewhere and looked up, like, the most populated 300 cities in the country, and Corpus Christi is the biggest one that I have not been to. I think it's, like, 100th biggest or the 90th biggest or something. So I don't know, I just got a good feeling about it. Yeah, so I might check that out on the way. Who knows, maybe dip into Austin. That's always a good time for a day or four. No idea really. I'll just kind of see how Thanksgiving treats me and get on the road and see how things start moving. And yeah, maybe things will change entirely, you know how it is, and go from there. So that's it. That's where I'm at. Good times all together. All right, you guys. Hope you're all doing well. Hope Thanksgiving is going to kick ass for you. It's one of the better holidays. Food and beer. Good times. All right. Enjoy yourselves, and I will see you down the road. Plans I'm in, I need a new escape. With all my shit straight, I'll get my big break.